This is Defender Radio. I'm Michael Howie, and this is Defender Radio, the podcast for wildlife advocates and animal lovers, brought to you by the Fur Bearers. Simone Diamond is a Coast Salish artist who creates art pieces in the Coast Salish style. You may have seen Simone's designs featured on products from companies like Native Northwest, on her popular Instagram account, or in the Fur Bears Kids Activity Book from last year and our upcoming one this year. Simone joins Defender Radio to talk about how spirituality is infused with her art, the impact of colonization on the traditions in her family and culture, and how aspiring artists can find joy and inspiration around them. You have stated that your family is a significant part of your artwork and your art style, and how you got into it. I was wondering if you could share a bit more about that.
So my family's influence on me becoming an artist was huge. Like, if my uncle, so my dad's brother, didn't have like the dream that he did, I don't know that we all would have become artists, because there's so many in my family because of him and my dad, and them just like going through everything that they did, you know. Like, I think it's for my dad will say like that we didn't have to go through like the nitty gritty stuff of like being turned down by people the way that him and my uncle would have, right? Especially in the time that they grew up in, and I think that that's like a very, very fair. A very fair statement. Like, that was like, yeah, that's true. Like, there is a level of like access that we had with them being like building the foundation that they did for all of us. So, and that's not to say that we all didn't do our own piece and have our own footprint on in that like art world the way that we have, but it was a major component, right? And, yeah. But my dad has always encouraged me to kind of express myself freely. And he kind of left that opportunity there for when I wanted to get into it. But and he was the one that like was like, here, I have this for you. Let's go. And I know somebody who will want designs from you. So do up some designs and let's go. And that kind of stuff was like, I guess, part and parcel, like the stuff that really, really started it all.
Yeah. So it's a lovely family tradition then followed by sort of a mentorship almost to help you find the way forward through it. Because I imagine it's like any career, any passion people find themselves engaged in as young people, there can be a lot of roadblocks. Mm-hmm. There can be a lot of difficulties getting ahead. And having a supportive parent makes such an incredible difference in that. And then to have them supportive and guide you, it must be, again, help create that tradition and keep it going too.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of the tradition, we've spoken briefly, and I hope you could share a little bit about this, how colonization impacted Coast Salish art and why there were some of those extra roadblocks in there for your father and uncle, and then for yourself and future generations.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think when my dad and my uncle started learning how to carve, the art itself was a dying art. And that was like that definitely due to colonization for sure, right? And I'm thinking probably a number of things, right? Like not being able to practice any cultural expression really because of the like potlatch ban and things like that. And then you add in the effects of like residential school and my family and the 60s scoop and just like families not functioning properly. It's like, it's amazing that the art itself was able to survive all of that. I mean, especially given the fact that like, look at today where a lot of us can't function in in regular society with minor inconveniences, you know, like how much that affects us. And that makes me reflect on like just how determined to survive that, like my dad and my uncle and their parents and siblings that like, I just reflect on that, right? Like, I think in those terms, and I'm like, if I'm struggling, I'm like, I can't even imagine how they made it through with abuse and, like, you know, dysfunction, probably alcoholism and broken families and things like that, all that were because a lot of things were taken away, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of healing going, but it sounds like artwork for you and your family has been healing.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, definitely. Artwork has definitely been, I think, a major healing aspect, and finding that sense of identity and things like that, you know? Like, I think when you as a people have been like stripped of your identity, like those things, I think we're learning today that like there's so many things that it's like, don't put your worth on this and don't put your worth on this, right? But it's like, you got to be able to utilize those things as tools to, you let it define you to a certain degree, right? But we've had to utilize it more so as a way of reviving our culture. Mm-hmm. And so now I think that like there's just so much, like a piece of the healing is figuring out that your worth isn't exactly what you can contribute, right? It's like, oh, just as a person, you're worthy of all these basic things. But when for generations you've been like looked down upon as a people, right? By another people who thought they were more superior to you. There's just like, there's generational trauma in that alone, right? And so I think that the reasoning for the resiliency and the resurgence, there's so much talk of that, right? And reconciliation, it's like those are the reasonings, right? And we're basically having to reconcile with ourselves and figure out who we are, like just as an individual, let alone like as part of a group that doesn't want to necessarily be defined by our traumatic past.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, it makes me not want to ask more questions. It was very elegantly said, and is difficult to process, mm-hmm. I think is maybe the easiest, clearest way for me to put it. It's the volume of it. I read about it, but talking with someone makes it real in a very different way. So I thank you for sharing that. And in terms of the culture and the arts, I'm curious, is this the kind of thing where you approach a subject and think of how the style and the tradition you've been taught factors into it, or do you bring, you have the style you want to achieve and you go looking for something, a subject matter? I feel like there's a better way of asking that question, but as a non-artist, that's about as close as I'm gonna get.
Yeah, I think it like they just go, I feel like it kind of goes hand in hand, right? It's like sometimes it can be this one, and then it like you incorporate that and you're going like, you're just going up the ladder sometimes. And sometimes the steps are like opposite to each other. Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have an idea and I could envision exactly how I'm going to design it. Or the next time I could, like, I do have to like draw out the shape, and then I'm like, I don't go into it knowing. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like, that's just part of the journey that I've come to accept. It's just not linear, right? Like the steps they can be different. The inspiration could have been completely different. And so, or the reasoning, right? Because sometimes my reasoning is that I'm drawing out what I envision from somebody else's idea when I'm working with companies on logos and stuff, right?
That's a very cool, cool approach. There are a few elements that I've seen in your art that seem common, and one of them is frequently the circular design that you'll start with as the medium or the frame for the art. Is there intent behind the circular shape, or is it one that you simply enjoy working with?
I think the circular shape is like when, for me, I know like historically, like for Coast Salish, the spindle whirl was such a, I guess like a major component for Indigenous people, with like, because spindle whorls were a tool, right? They were used to spin wool. And so spindle whorl is like a circle, and then it has like an open circle or an open cylinder, cutout cylinder in the middle, right? And that's why you'll see a lot with the empty space in the middle, right? It's to represent a spindle whorl. Okay. But I think it's kind of interesting to think about it as like, as people, we are so, we believe in like the cycles of everything, right? Whether it's the moon phases and that cycle just goes around, or if it's like a woman's moon time, like there's cycles, it just keeps going, right? And so then there's the cycle of life, and then there's the cycle of the seasons. And so I think that that can be best represented by a circle, right? Because it's just it's a continuum, it just keeps going. And I think that's the major significance of it.
It creates a lovely effect on some of the art. There's one where you have a canoe almost coming out of the circle, mm-hmm. which gives it a cool kind of movement feel to it.
Yeah.
But there is one I'd like you to share a bit about, if you can, is the grandmother and the women mm-hmm. in a circle. And I'm going to, your Instagram is a place everyone should be going to right now. And there's links to it in the show notes for everyone, where you can see this specific image I'm talking about. But I was wondering if you could share the story behind that one, because you did share it with me in the past. And so if you wouldn't mind sharing a bit about that one.
Yeah. I can't remember what I called it, but the Matriarch's Connection is what it was called. But so I am looking at it right now. So that one was the reason that I did it, that I guess inspired me to create this design, because I was away, I was out of town for this, right? And I was traveling. And at the time, I couldn't just like come home, right? I was away. And my siblings, their grandma had passed, and she was a local matriarch. She was their matriarch, right? But she was also a respected and like influential woman here in the Fraser Valley. And so I was like, I didn't really know, like, I couldn't be there with my siblings to support them. And so I was like, I kind of had this idea for a design, and I could kind of envision this one. And so it's like, it usually starts off with the face in the middle, and I'm like, what am I going to do with the rest of it? Right. And so it's kind of to be represented as a sun, for women to be the kind of the light of the community, right? Because there's just so many aspects of what women do, like the life bringers and kind of the continuous energy that women have. And but also another aspect of it is, when you look at it, like you can visibly tell that those are women wrapped around it, right? Yeah. And they're holding on to the rays of the sun, basically as like the glue that holds the community together, right? Because our mothers, our aunts, or whether it's sisters or whatever, play such a highly influential role in our communities. And as a society, like Indigenous societies, they're often very, very matriarchal, right? Matrilineal. So decision-making was often made by women, even if men were presenting or were the ones that were at the forefront, but it was like decision-making was, women were often consulted, right? The elders, the siams is what we call them. They were often consulted for that. And so, yeah, that's kind of the meaning around that and the importance of that. I wanted to find a way to visually emphasize the, emphasize and acknowledge women for all of those roles that they play in our lives.
And that particular design ended up getting used, I believe you had said.
Yeah. Yeah. It was used for Orange Shirt Day with a company that I work with, Native Northwest. I was like really happy when they asked if they could use it for that. It wasn't originally intended for that, but I think that the meaning behind the design was an extremely important aspect to acknowledge when you think about children, right? Because a piece of that design is the meaning behind it is that basically like our matriarch's prayers are still protecting us today, right? And which is like so true. Sometimes all that our women have had were those good intentions for their children, their grandchildren, their nieces, their nephews, right? And so I just think that that's such a powerful thing to think about because sometimes we don't know what, no rhyme or reason for why somebody changes their ways or why like just abrupt changes happen in your life that are for the better, right? And so I think it's just helpful to think of it in that way. And
It's a beautiful representation of those ideas and feelings, I think. Folks would, as I said, do well to go look at your Instagram to check that one out and others. And I'm curious, you're speaking a lot about the spiritual connections, and you've spoken about the importance of connecting with culture, tradition, and history through the art. How do you personally put a spiritual connection into the art, or is there a way that it is represented generally through your art?
As Indigenous people, like we are spiritual, right? Like, and that's what we identify with is that like everything, and the reason for that is that everything, we believe that everything has a spirit, right? And so with that said, is like when you are looking at everything and acknowledging it as that, and it just allows you to be more present and in the moment with everything around you, right? Whether it's a tree, whether it's looking at the sun and being with your animals, right? Or like looking at flowers and all of that. And so in the art, in Coast Salish art or Indigenous art at that, when you are putting a face to something, maybe in nature or whatever, that is kind of the acknowledgement of that thing having a spirit, right? So like when you see a sun with a kind of a human looking face, that's what that means, is that presence has a spirit, and that presence has a spirit and it has a role in our everyday life. You know, no matter how small it is. And that's why you add that to a flower, you add a face to a flower, and that's the acknowledgement of that being, right? And so, and then us, right? So then it makes kind of that thing or what you're looking at have more meaning, and you have more respect for it.
We've talked a bit about how there has been healing and connection and a reconnection with history, culture, tradition, and family through art for you. How do you see the role of art moving forward, acting in terms of preserving Indigenous culture or promoting and speaking to it as sort of a representative of culture?
I think that when people see an art piece and it means something to them, it's like there's an automatic connection to it, right? And so it's like you're not just relating to that what you saw visually, like you're relating to what that artist put into that art, which was their spirit, right? That's what we believe, is that like you were putting your spirit into that piece, whatever you designed, right? And sending that out into the world. And so whenever somebody connects with it, they're connecting with you. And so like, I think that art is like a good teaching tool, right? Like when you have a story behind it, it having that visual helps connect more dots, right? And to see how kind of people's minds work or where they were at or those kinds of things. And yeah, I think it's just like, it poses questions, right? If you don't know what the story is, it makes for more connection, because you want to ask the question, what does that mean? Yeah. What does this piece mean? Why did you put that there? Why are these two elements together? And it just poses more questions, right? And it leaves opportunity for more connection.
You've spoken about the challenges that you have faced that you were able to circumvent at times as a result of the family tradition and the mentorship you've received. What advice would you give to other inspiring Indigenous artists? Are there specific things that you've learned that you maybe wish you knew earlier, or that could be important lessons that aren't going to be found necessarily in a classroom of sorts?
I would definitely tell people, I think it applies to everyone. It's just like, if you have an interest or you have something that you've been drawn to, you're like, oh, like that looks great. Like, I wish I could do that or something like that, right? It's just like, give it a try. Like, I don't know. People are so worried about being good at something. It's like, I was shitty. Like, I sucked. But I was so young when I was going through that process, right? And it's just like, you have to accept you're going to suck, you know, like accept that you're going to suck. Yeah. And just go have the courage and to go try new things. Right. And if you're interested, give it a try, like, and give yourself grace and give yourself time to develop that thing. Cause I'm like me, I was young, right? It was my environment that allowed me to do what I do today. Right. And so I was very fortunate that way. And so it's just like, but I do go and try different things. Like I'm like, I taught myself how to crochet from like YouTube. Like I also learned from online how to do digital art, right? And so a whole number of things, beading. And it's just like, I don't know, I personally just like to be creative. So I like to try different things like that. And it's like my form of expression. And it's nice when I don't necessarily have to do it for a reason, right? Whether it's for money. It's like, even though that aspect is nice, finding balance for me as a creative person is being able to create without expectation, right? And so removing that makes such a huge difference for people, right? Because so many people want their thing to be worth something, but it's like, you need to make it worth something. If it's worth expressing yourself, like, you need to do it, right? And I think that's where people get so lost in their head, because they want the next best idea or to make the next best thing or the best looking thing. And it's just like, just express yourself and find ways to have those outlets, and you're probably going to feel better.
Yeah. I'm curious then, do you think that the social media aspect of creativity at this point is helpful or harmful at times? By that, I mean, for folks who want to try something new, and then you go online and you see professionals, and you don't get the context that they've been doing this for 30 years or something. You just see what they've created. Mm-hmm. Do you find that that can be harmful to the process or helpful to the process for yourself or in general?
I think it's both, right? It's like with anything, like too much of something is not going to be good, even if it's the healthiest thing for you, right? And even if it gets you the most exposure or the most customers, things like that. Too much of a good thing is like, it can be just as harmful, right? As something negative that you receive so much of. And so I think it's just an act, a balancing act of of just following your feeling space of what does actually feel good for you. You know, it's like, does scrolling on social media feel good for you all the time? Or is it a nice thing to access when you've just had a long day and you don't want to have to, you want to see nice things, right? And you don't want to have to access, you don't want to have to like look, be reading all these things. And I think it's, so I do think it's just finding balance and all of that, which I've had to go through myself, right? And working through feelings of like not doing enough or not being enough. And I think finally coming to a place where I got fed up with that was a crazy thing. And I still like sometimes go into that space where I'm like, am I doing enough? And then I'm like, why do I think like this? Like, why do I have to be so worried of whether I'm doing enough? Right. Like, why is my worthiness even wrapped around that? But it's just that social conditioning of like productivity, right? And like, it's just too easy to get wrapped up in that. So it's like having boundaries with yourself around social media, around your self-talk, like all that, all those number of things. It's just like kind of observing yourself and being able to differentiate, right?
If there was one thing that you could say to people who want to be more creative in their life, who are looking for connection to the world around them, what would you suggest to people who are looking to become more creative or connect with their creativity overall?
I would say like, I mean, this is where social media can be a useful tool, but go find the things that you're interested online, right? And fill your social media with that so that you see it more regularly. And like, but then like visit museums or like just follow people that are doing what you'd like to be doing, right? So that you, I mean, it's just not, it's not viable for all of us to go out and a mentor, right? So it's like, you kind of have to create your own idea of what you feel that is by paying attention to the people that are doing what you would like to be doing, right? Or what you envision yourself doing. And so I think that that's where social media is a useful tool for that, because you just have that access at your fingertips, right? But then I think like the next piece of that is the action steps. Like what action are you actually going to take to be able to express yourself in that way? Is seeing just enough for you, or does it make you want to pick up a pencil and draw, or does it make you want to paint, or does it make you want to make necklaces or anything like that? Does it make you want to write? You know, like I definitely have like, for example, visions from people's writing where I can see what they're trying. I can like just visualize my interpretation of what people are trying to write, or in poetry and things like that. And so I think that's where you can define whether it is you are inspired by that person to create, or do you just appreciate what they're doing? Because there's that too, right? And I don't think all of it necessarily requires action. So it's just identifying what those things are for you. Like I am definitely, I do feel inspired by like poetry, for example, to a degree, but I don't really write poetry, but I appreciate it and I resonate with it. And
yeah,
I like to read it and I'm always interested in people's writings. So yeah. It's an art form that I appreciate as another artist.
I want to thank Simone for her time, and I really mean thank her. Due to a spectacular series of circumstances on my end related to tech and internet connectivity, this interview took a few attempts to get finalized, and Simone was remarkably patient and kind throughout. To connect with Simone or learn more about her art, and I strongly encourage you to do so, visit her Instagram page at Simone Diamond Designs. Links are available in this episode's show notes in your podcast player or at defenderradio.com. Until next time, I'm Michael Howie for Defender Radio and the Fur Bears, reminding you to stay informed and stay strong.